What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
We're your home for all new Clippers content coming at you 5 days a week. Today, we got a doozy of a show lined up for you. We're going to be kicking things off with a season preview.
Oh, yeah.
I'm already ruining the next segment. Of what could be for Patrick Beverley, which leads me into a perfect segue. Every single Wednesday, we do a What Could Have Been Wednesday or a What Could Be. This week we've got,
this one hurts.
This one is a little hard. We're going to be talking about, what could be with Shea, maybe his season in OKC, talk about maybe what could have been if he would have stayed a part of this team.
Can we just right. Shave?
And then we're going to wrap things up with some shavings. Maybe we'll call it tissues today.
Why is that?
Because the second thing was going to be so sad.
Oh, that's a good call.
Anyways, we got some stuff kicking around in there. We're going to be talking about, Paul George and some practice stuff. Talking about just rest and training and all the happenings in Honolulu. Are they in Honolulu?
Yeah, they're in Hawaii.
Eh, whatever. It's all the same to me. Anyways, coming up right about now.
Yeah, so we're starting with our second player preview. Yesterday we did Kawhi Leonard. If you missed that, you want to check it out. Today we're doing Patrick Beverley. Why are we doing him second? Couldn't tell you. Just felt like it. Seems like a good pairing. Patrick Beverley is the epitome of stats don't tell the whole story. I almost said unstatable, but I held my tongue.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, Doc said his favorite Beverley stat line last year was when he was minus 11.
Oh, yeah.
But he played great defense, grabbed a bunch of boards.
Yeah.
It was a win, I'm pretty sure.
We got the dub. Didn't he have like, it was like 2-3-6, but he was like plus something absurd.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'm thinking of the opposite.
Yeah, no worries. He took 11 points away. So last year, he averaged 7.6, 5, and 3.8 on 40, 40, and 78 shooting.
God, you love to see it.
Oh, yeah. With a net rating of plus 8, which. You consider the year before he missed 71 games of basketball.
Yep.
Emerged to kind of be the epitome of what I'm choosing to call the new Clippers is.
Yeah.
His vibe, his outlook at how you play the game and what you're supposed to do every night.
Yeah.
Is ingrained in the team's DNA.
100%. Yeah, it's one of those things. It depends on how deep you want to dig or how much you want to look into it. Because I do feel like, yeah, I mean, let's call it 8, 5, and 4 is not something that really jumps out to you on the page.
Not at all. No disrespect.
As like a starting guard. But he's like, even in his years in Houston, he's always been an above league average guard. He's every season except for one. Got to double check this. No, every single season he's been in the league, he's had a warp of one or more.
There you go.
So he's definitely an above average guard. Like, yeah. There's no way around it. I would say that that's like pretty concrete evidence. I think the question remains to be how much more above average can we get from Pat Beverley?
Well, hopefully we can get something like playoff Pat Beverley, who in 6 games against the eventual runners-up averaged 9.8, 8, and 4.6.
Yep.
Which is, if he could put up 10, 8, and 5, which I think it'll probably be more than 5 given the tools around him,
mm-hmm.
with his defense, and he keeps his shooting around that 40, 40, 78.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you always want those to be higher, but where they're at is sure as hell fine by me. That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been able to translate to even better playoffs player. I mean, like, 3-point shooting, really, I mean, he's really, really been solid for us.
There was a month last year, I think he was above 42%.
Yeah.
For the whole month.
Yeah, and he's been adding, I think that part of the optimism for me comes in the fact that he just, like, this is the first full offseason that he hasn't had to spend rehabbing.
Yeah.
That he's been with the Clippers.
Yeah, good call.
So it's, you know, he's obviously so much closer with the team as well,
mm-hmm.
Which I think, you know, is a bit of an intangible, but I think if you have a guy who's a guard that is going to help with passing, that is going to help with finding open guys, knowing where guys like to get the ball, But I think the things that we're going to see him improve on this year, or that I hope to see an improvement more, is bigger presence in the lane, which we saw towards the end of the season, like him taking like those sort of floaters.
He loves them.
Being comfortable getting in there, just because the more looks everybody on this team can provide, the more opening, you know, Kawhi and Paul George are going to have to work.
For sure. The periphery pieces.
Yes. Are those two are the periphery pieces too?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Around
gotcha,
Patrick Beverly.
And so, it, like, in that right, yeah, like I said, like, the floaters and stuff all improved as we moved down the season. I'd like to see him get to the line as much as he can without getting hurt, obviously.
Yeah.
And then he's also been getting a lot better at shooting a three off the dribble in the playoffs. And I mean, like, by last year, he made like an over 25% improvement in accuracy taking those unassisted.
If that can be something that...
which is wild insane to think about.
That's an insane jump in efficiency. If we can see that as, obviously not as like a, all right, go shoot off the dribble.
You're taking the man off the dribble.
Yeah, but if that can be something that just makes someone play tighter to him,
yeah,
or something like that.
100%.
The way that this team uses space... we're going to be talking about Jamichael Green, obviously, during these player previews. But other than Jamichael and Shamet, the space that could maybe be manipulated by Bev is going to be some of the most important on the team, other than Kawhi.
Yeah, if you can't sag off of Pat, then you have so many driving lanes open for Kawhi. Yeah. Like, all these great isolation
scores.
You're
so far behind the eight ball.
And that's the thing. And that's why we bring this up. I feel like we've touched on his offense a lot more than his defense. I just feel like it's a known commodity, also a little bit harder to stat. But these are the type of things that I think he doesn't even have to be like the most elite three-point shooter off the dribble. If the threat is there that you're going to knock down two even a game,
yeah,
I feel like that's enough to just add a little bit of space, take a little bit of pressure, and a little bit of a look off everybody else.
Everyone.
And I think that is huge.
I'm a big, and when it comes to basketball, in terms of this kind of stuff, where it's something where maybe he shoots not the biggest frequency, but the efficiency is there, I'm the kind of person who's like, if you're feeling it, and obviously everything's on the same page with Doc and the game plan, and Bev hits two just off the dribble threes within the first, I don't know, quarter or something like that, that is an immediate, maybe lesser wrinkle in the opposing team's brain that is now a very large wrinkle.
Yes.
Because he's already dropped it on you.
Yeah, 100%.
And so you already are like, oh, shit, damn it. Like, we got to step up. The defense is hard to talk about without just using a bunch of hyperbole, but I think it's fine for us to use a little bit of it. Who's he going to guard opening night? AD or LeBron?
No, man. I hope it's Patrick, but I hope that it's I hope that it's Pat on Avery.
I hope it is too. I hope, because now it's going to be great. I can't wait. I hope he locks up Rondo.
That was a very dark period of our backcourt, and to watch Pat just like annihilate him on the other side of the floor, I think would be very, very satisfying.
Are we going to see some first team all defense nods this year for Beverly?
No.
You don't think so?
I mean, I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve him.
For
I'm
sure?
just saying that no, I don't see it.
It is kind of a crowded
There's
backcourt.
Some good guards.
I mean, we talk about it on this podcast a lot. Jrue Holiday.
Love.
Fantastic. That's fair. I'm excited to see him this year. He seems a little more within himself in a good way based on media day.
He seems like, I don't know, he's just at
he seems so focused.
He is like, he seems really focused. He also just, I think that it encapsulated it perfectly when he said that he felt like he had to prove to the city that he had earned this contract.
Yeah. He feels the vibe around Bev when he was answering those questions was kind of like someone who's like, they'll tell you they're calm. You're like, I don't know if I believe that. And then you watch them kind of interact with everything and you're like, you're on such a focused level of yourself right now.
Yeah.
That you are 100. This is like the peak seemingly vibe version of you that it could be.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see him get on the court.
Absolutely.
God, it's going to be great. He said I just love anytime people are referencing how they want to make it up to the city or how the city has opened them, has welcomed them with open arms. I'm a sucker for it.
The city's opened them?
Yeah, exactly. I hope he puts on.
He was in a cocoon and now he's just a beautiful butterfly.
Up. How many do you think you're going to see his distribution go up?
Yeah. So I was looking at it. He's made some pretty significant improvements in terms of assists since he's been on this team. Last year, he saw essentially 150% increase from his previous season total, which he did only play 11 games, which is, which is whatever. Still a larger increase, though, from his last year in Houston, in which, I mean, this stat line jumps out at you a lot more. His last year in Houston there before the trade, he had really solid numbers on, I think, I'm trying to remember, minutes per night. Regardless, he had numbers that jumped out at you a little bit more with 10 a game, 4.2 assists, 2 steals, and the rebounding wasn't quite as good, but it was still like 4 a game.
Yeah. Man, God, I just can't wait to see him play. We can see him play Thursday, yep. Maybe, depending how much Doc rest people. Coming up after this, we're doing a fairly somber What Could Be Wednesday. But first, I want to give a shout-out to Manscaped. They are number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. Okay.
I got a real tearjerker for you.
This one hurts. But I thought, since we're doing player previews, we could look at a what could be of a former Clipper, the great Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yep.
He is in Oklahoma. He is wearing a jersey sponsored by a gas station. You know,
love to see it.
You know, it's a different world over there in whatever area code Oklahoma uses.
He doesn't have to do the prayer, does he, before
I don't know.
The game?
I'm very much looking forward to seeing his development. We're so happy, I think, that he's going to be with Chris Paul, who seems open.
Are we so happy that he's going to be with Chris Paul?
Chris Paul seems open to teaching him. Which, if he can learn from Chris Paul, would be fantastic.
Who has he taught so far?
He's never had to teach anybody. He's probably going to try. He probably tried with Dennis Schroeder and was like, I can't do this.
He's tried with Dennis Schroeder already, though?
Yeah, and he's like, I can't do this.
This fucking guy.
He's got a blonde streak in his hair. What do you want me to do? No, CP3 has never mentored anybody, but the only real other option I feel like he could have had a mentoring was Austin Rivers, which maybe felt weird.
Yeah. That was the one I was thinking of.
Which maybe was like a little odd. Billy Donovan is already doing his best to make Clippers fans despise how the Thunder are going to use Shai, because he's commented that he could, you know, he's already been thinking about playing CP3, Schroeder, and Shai together this year.
I don't see what the issues with that. Shai played in a 3-guard lineup previously.
Not with Dennis Schroeder. He played in a much more functional 3-guard lineup.
Yeah, that's fair.
He didn't, but, you know, like, and Billy Donovan is nowhere near as good of a coach as Doc.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like my same thing as like Lou Will. I don't really, Shai can be good off ball. You know, he's a decent 3-point shooter, 37%. A lot of that is skewed because he kind of sucked to start the year and got better.
Yeah.
Definitely towards the end. But I just think, yeah, it's like my same Lou Williams thing. If the ball isn't in his hands, then really what are you doing with him on the floor?
He's not big enough to like make his, to carve out any space anywhere, really.
He's a good defender. I will give him that.
Oh, yeah. Like, but offensively, it's like, what's he going to do? He's like,
I mean, like, he can cut off ball. He can do different little things. But I just think, yeah, if you're looking for his highest upside.
Get him the damn ball.
It's with the ball in his hands.
So we'd assume that 3-guard lineup would be CP3, Schroeder, Shai, and then two 7-footers with Gallo and Steven Adams.
Yeah. I mean, I love it.
It's a crazy lineup to think about. I wish a different coach was coaching it, but I don't know.
Billy Donovan a bad coach?
I think he is.
Wow.
Look at what the Thunder have done with all the good players they've had.
they made a finals.
Yes, and?
More finals than I've made.
I just feel like he gets a lot of... Yeah, only one. I feel like he gets a lot of chances. That's all I'm saying. What do we think of in terms of development? Because Shai kind of had, thankfully, to an Avery Bradley ankle injury, he was forced into the starting lineup. And in terms of development, it seemed like he did it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He seemed a little ahead of where some rookie point guards are, maybe, but the strides that he made were phenomenal at the end of the season.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, he ended up starting 73 total games as a Clipper, which is really incredible, especially even with this team last year, there being no technical all-stars.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I struggled to think of like how much development time he was really going to get. We, I think, landed on preseason. We were really hopeful that he would get 15 minutes a game, and anything less seemed like it would be a travesty.
And it almost was. It literally only was an Avery Bradley ankle injury.
Yeah.
That put him into that starting lineup. So it was almost, it almost could have been rough.
Yeah.
I don't think we win 48 games if Shea doesn't start 73 of them.
But let's see. Last year he ended up averaging 11 points, three boards, three assists, with a steal and a quarter.
Dude, I told you, I firmly believe in the next 3 years he's going to be top five in steals per game. He's a ball hawk. He's long. He understands that part of the game. I'm excited to see how CP3 can help him on the defensive end.
I'm excited to see Shea in transition. I think him throwing lobs to either Gallo or Steven Adams is very fun.
I hope Gallo is like, give me all the lobs.
Dude, I mean, we can see it. I could see it.
I would love it.
He's strong enough, you know.
Shea was trying to throw lobs to Gortat a few times last
year. They'll need him to be spacing the floor. There's still not enough shooters.
They got Gallo working on his box jump so he can throw down more.
He's gonna knock down people like bowling pins.
Yeah,
it's gonna be insane.
How do we think Gallo's years are gonna go? Because we could do a what could be for him.
I think Gallo is gonna have a really great year. I think that
volume's gonna be there.
Yeah, I think that he's gonna get a lot of shots. He's gonna get a volume up. They've never really, in my opinion, since KD left, had a shooter like Gallo.
Yeah.
Other than Paul George for sure, but Paul George is a different player. What he was asked to do was just a lot different. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of like just straight scoring, Gallo's going to be great.
How do you think the defense looks with him at the four and Adams at the five?
I think if his effort is like it was last year, interior defense to me seems really, really strong.
Interior defense seems good. I'm a little worried about outside that.
Yeah, like if he gets caught in pick and rolls and switching, like I don't know how well that's going to happen. But like man on man, I think that he, you know, he's quick enough to tail somebody out to the perimeter. He's strong enough inside.
Well, I mean, obviously he's the strongest man in the league.
I mean, it's impossible for him not to be. So I actually think that Gallo will have a pretty good season. Scoring wise, I would think would put up similar numbers to last year. I mean, once again, he's kind of the only tool on a team that is questionable to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it is kind of a trip to think about how even more so than last year, he's like one of the few offensive weapons on the Thunder now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Man, I hope they do well.
I hope they do well. It'd be really cool.
I hope they tank.
It'd be really cool to me if the Thunder snag a playoff. So I want to see Shea developing in the playoffs every single year.
Playoff Shea's.
If they're not going to make the playoffs, they better trade him midseason to somebody who will.
I hope they either make the playoffs or just tank.
No, I don't want Shea on a tanking team. I can't watch that.
I mean, how many Thunder games are you going to watch anyway?
I mean, 82.
Please don't do that. No, I guess maybe not. Or deal him or something, because they are in a weird space.
Yeah.
They're one of those teams where it's like, I guess you could argue to me that they could be a competitive playoff team, but I'm not going to believe it.
No.
I can see where you're coming from.
They're a first-round exit, but I think like making the playoffs for this team, that'd be great.
Yeah, because they have...
I mean, that'd be an accomplishment.
They have a bunch of picks, too.
Yeah.
They got ours, which is probably going to be too good.
Ache.
Let's hope so. They posted those pictures of like everyone in the jerseys yesterday. Shea just doesn't look good in Oklahoma City colors.
He's a LA guy.
He's an LA guy. Gallo weirdly seems like he's going to fit in well in Oklahoma City. I don't
know. Gallo is an LA guy as well.
I don't know what their Italian restaurant scene is like.
Oh, it's bad. Have you had Italian food in the Midwest?
Well, it's not the Midwest.
What is it?
It's kind of like wherever Texas is.
South Midwest.
Yeah, South Midwest. Bricktown and downtown Oklahoma is kind of cool. A lot of good barbecue spots. My family's from Oklahoma, so maybe I'll trek down there, try and say what's up to Shea.
Yeah.
Because you definitely see players walk around Oklahoma City. There's not a lot of places to go.
I would believe that. I would believe that.
I don't know. Shout out to Shea. Shout out to Gallo. Shout out to CP3.
Oh, here's one last thing on this.
Yeah.
who is a more tradable who is like a more tradable piece that is going to get you the max return? Chris Paul or Shea?
Shea.
And what do you think the return would be?
Whew. Right now? Not during the season?
Yeah. Or, I mean, both, either. Whatever you think.
I think a good team that's not going to be a lottery team would give up a couple of seconds.
That's not that good of a return.
Maybe a first?
I feel like that's not that good of a return.
What do you think he's worth?
I think that what Shea is worth would be one already NBA-proven rotation player, let's say someone of the caliber of a Marcus Morris.
I would agree with that.
And a pick.
Second or first? See, if it's a good team, I think it's a first.
I think it's a first because it's on a good team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know why you would make this trade. You're, like, good, but you're also planning for the future. But
hey, that's what we did.
I would say before even him having what if he has a – this used to be what we talk about all the time was just what if his second year he does have that De'Aaron Fox breakout year?
Yeah. Man. Shake.
All right. We got to move on.
Come on, this. We're talking about the practice in Hawaii shavings. We just need a minute. Welcome to shavings.
Tissues,
whatever. Want to give a shout out to Indochino, world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now, you slobs, with $30 off your total purchase of $3.99 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On, all cap letters, one word, at checkout. So, got a bunch of notes from practice because basketball is happening tomorrow.
Yep.
Got a big game tomorrow. Can't wait to do this player to do the preview for it tomorrow for you guys. I mean, highlight of the day yesterday, I would say, I'm actually going to claim this, the most surreal part of the offseason happened yesterday for me personally.
What?
Watching Jerry West give Paul George tips in the post.
All right.
That was a truly like, oh my God, the Clippers have Jerry West giving Paul George pointers while Kawhi watches. While we have the best pick and roll practice.
Dude, it's so wild.
It's amazing. Jerry's got the sunglasses on top of his head because he could not care less about how you're dressed. He's comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
George had a great quote about it. Paul George said, "He's been in my ear since I've gotten here, just giving little details and insights on what he's seeing that I can do better in the season. I want all of this content. I can't imagine a world in which I haven't heard this content now."
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Everyone top to bottom is so goddamn locked in for this season.
It's wild.
Jovan Buha, if you're not following him, follow him and Tomer Zarley. They're doing a bunch of fantastic content from the practices over in Hawaii. Jovan said Doc has suggested a few more players are going to get rest in Hawaii. Lou Williams being named. Kawhi also is probably going to sit out in Hawaii. That's good, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, every year we get excited, but every year it's like it's not the highest stakes.
It's not the highest stakes. Someone was worried because of the phrasing Doc said. He goes, you know, we're ramping Kawhi's activity up a little more. And someone on Twitter was like, more? Has he not been doing activity? Like, what's going on? I wonder if he's hurt.
I don't think he's hurt. I just think it's been like five on.
He's had ticky-tacky injuries. They're doing 5-on-0.
I was going to say, it's 5-on-0. It's like, no one is doing like full contact.
Also, we got to get used to this with having Kawhi on the team.
Yeah,
kind of stuff where it's like, oh, you know, he's not practicing. Don't worry about it. And you're like, wait, what? Why don't I have to worry about it? Don't worry about it.
I guess, and maybe this is like overly bullish or optimistic of me, but I think that I would prefer to hear this news.
Yeah.
I would prefer to hear the news.
I don't, but that's fair.
I would prefer to hear the news like, no, we're ramping up his stuff. Like, he hasn't been at full strength.
Want him to be condescending about it?
Yeah. Like, no, he's not.
Next question.
He's
idiot.
Not playing full strength. It just turned October.
Yeah, I'm fine with him sitting out the whole preseason. I said it yesterday. I wish it was like even more extreme than the NFL preseason.
I don't even think he should dress. Think it might be too strenuous.
What? My bad.
He should wake up in pajamas, roll to the game, sit on the bench, give some good notes.
Hang out.
Bounce.
How do I feel about Lou resting? Good. Another guy who I'm like, rest up.
Great. I feel great about it.
Paul George, they said he's not going to be doing, he's doing basically skeleton drills.
Yeah. Which is fine. Send him back to LA. Put him in a cryo chamber. He doesn't even need to be there.
I think they have cryo chambers in Hawaii.
Nah. Too humid. They're too slow.
Doc made an interesting note about Shamit he made the point to say that Shaman is drawing a lot of attention from the defense, and that more so than last year, every player is really keyed into where Shaman's going to be on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, so we saw that some in the Golden State Warriors series, where it was definitely like a wrinkle that they were familiar with, but not aware of just how much magnetism he would command on the floor. So that's good to hear. You know, like I think you and I have both been mixed in what we think we could/should expect from Shamit this season. But being more aggressive scoring is just, I mean, you know, you're never going to be mad at that.
Yeah, and this is the perfect defense for him to be going against.
Yes.
One of the theoretically league's best. It did make me feel excited that we're going to see Shamit doing more than what we have been kind of led to believe based on the open run videos and whatnot. Speaking of open run videos,
what do you got?
Saw a quick clip of some 5-on-0, my favorite kind of basketball to watch. Running a play, was a set for Zoo down low. Magruder was just planted in the corner. He did not move the entire possession.
Okay.
Jerome was guarding him and crashed in on Zoo after Zoo missed. Zoo got an offensive board, and Jerome sagged off of Magruder pretty hard, leaving Magruder wide open in the corner. Zoo didn't find him with the pass. He ended up finishing it. But it made me think Magruder shot 35% from corner threes on one attempt per game.
I don't want to see it more.
You don't think we're going to see him do more?
I think to open up the floor, we need more than that from him.
For sure.
I think we need him to, like, I mean, it's pretty much like we were talking about. Like, the lack of playmaking at the guard spot could become an issue.
Yeah.
So I think I'd rather see that than him posted up. But there's just, on that second unit, theoretically already so many shooters.
Yeah. And this is also kind of skewed. It's 5-on-0. We're not at full strength. Kawhi and Paul George aren't factoring these lineups.
Yeah.
I don't really have a list of things I wouldn't have expected to see in 5-on-0 drills, but Magruder kind of being the guy in the corner is one of the things. And it's not, you know, this might not be indicative of what happens during the year. It was just one of the things that stuck out.
I think it's one of those things.
And Zoo looked strong as hell. Sorry.
It makes sense if in your backcourt you're running Lou Williams and Magruder. I think obviously you're going to have some sets where he posts up in the corner or cuts or something a little bit more off ball. But I don't know that I would like to see him taking like a ton of attempts of these a game. You know, like not even that it's, I mean, obviously it's not a low percentage shot. He shoots them well enough. I just don't know if that's the best way to utilize him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It might have just been a small wrinkle or something like that.
One thing that stuck out to me from this video is Zoo finishes like from at least three different guys. He looks really good. We still haven't seen the passing out of the post yet, which I'm curious to see. He seemed confident about it in media day, but the finishing looked a lot better to me.
Yeah, he does miss the first shot, but then immediately gets the board and puts it back.
He gets the putback.
Yeah, which is clutch.
And then he does finish from a couple other guys, a couple different variations, taking bounce passes, taking stuff higher above the rim. So you like to see it.
It was all good.
You like to see a little bit more variation from him. I think the fingers are better. The touch looks better.
You know what they're doing in those videos.
What do you got?
They're moving that ball from one side of the court to the god dang other.
Are you bringing back the Corey Maggette gospel?
Oh, yeah. Spaghetti Maggette's basketball gospel. also a highlight from yesterday. One of the things that I love about Jerry West, one of the many things I love about Jerry West, refuses to wear official team sweats.
Doesn't have to.
I know. I love that.
What's he supposed to do with his current sweats that he's had for the last 45 years? You know, throw them in a trash can?
You know that like they're sent to his house because like when you're an executive of a team, they send you all the stuff. And he's probably just like, why would I? I got my blue Adidas pants. I've always These are broken in. You want me to break in these new pants? Jerry West is also an Italian man in this scenario. Oh, man. Tomorrow, we have another player preview for you guys. We have a game preview for you guys.
Whoa.
For the 10 p.m.
Can you believe it?
I can't. I'm so excited.
We should pop champagne or something tomorrow to celebrate.
I am going to guzzle champagne at 10 p.m. and then promptly stop right when the game's over and then call in sick to work. Thank you so much for listening and hanging out. Thank you for hanging on the stream yesterday. That was a very fun time.
Oh, yeah.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.